if you know something I don't.
Oh, darling, don't take it personally.
None of it.
What floor are you on? Your room?
Fourth, in the new building. I have a mini suite. Non-smoking.
I'm over there, too.
We can have breakfast together.
Are you someone who keeps your promises?
If it doesn't interfere with my career.
To your wife?
Yes, actually.
Why is that?
So that I can live with myself, I suppose, when I have time.
Only I'm in 473 if you wake up in the night and find you're not asleep. No one need ever know.
Not much point then, is there? I love your work, Mr. Abbott.
Hi. I'm Adam Morris. Oh,
you made it. That's wonderful. Good flight?
Oh, unbelievable flight. Hey, are you Hannah by any chance?
Oh, Hannah's in with Mike. I'm Tamara.
I don't doubt it for a second.
Can I get you something?
Is that the local language for he's not here yet?
Mike? Oh, he's here. How about some coffee?
No, I have a book. He is expecting me, though, isn't he?
He is looking forward to seeing you so much.
Meanwhile, I'll be the guy over there in the corner with the dust on him.
Adam smiled furiously and sat on a low couch and read Susie Beaumont's screenplay, A Choice of Motives. After a while, two men in silk suits came in carrying slim briefcases and went straight into Mike Clode's office. One came out and two more people arrived, one a woman with important hair, wearing an Armani pantsuit and ambitious glasses. When she had looked at Adam and he at her, he checked that he had not been turned to stone.
Okay, Tamara, this is getting a little silly, isn't it?
I know, I feel terrible.
Well, perhaps we should both go home before I catch it.
About this?
What's going on?
I totally do not know.
That sounds like a lot.
Adam sat and read Susie Beaumont's solemn script and pretended with every impatient movement that it was of no concern to him that an hour had passed.
Adam!
If you say no one told me you were here, I shall...
I knew bloody well you were here, old son. That's partly why I'm so angry.
Thank God for a friendly face.
You're in real trouble, aren't you?
Tell me about it. Hotel all right?
Hotel's fine. I don't really want to stay longer than a few days if I can help it. If you can help it, actually, which you can.
You haven't heard?
An enormous number of things. For instance, what?
Never come out here and work, Adam. Ever.
Right.
These people are unbelievable. They are unbelievable. You cannot imagine what's going on in this organization.
I won't even try.
I cannot tell you what a relief it will be to be back in England.
When you can, do. Tell me.
They pretend to be your friends. They pretend to be behind you. They promise they'll back you up to the hilt, and then they stab you in the back.
That's academic life, all right.
You are so lucky.
So I keep hearing.
Not really to be in the business at all. One thing I can tell you. Your deal is safe, solid, signed and sealed. Nothing they can do about it. Call me whatever you want to call me.
No need for that at the moment. Do I possibly gather that they're changing the guard and no one told you?
Do you know that total price shit Carlo Pavlidis?
Not a lot. He kisses me on the lips, but that's as far as it goes.
His mother is a camel. I thought at least Lou would keep his word to me. His solemn word... Just so you can know what kind of people we're dealing with here, they've asked me to be off the lot by noon. They're painting out my name on my parking slot even as we speak. Nice people.
I have the picture.
Never again, Adam. Never again. England's the place for me from now on. I wasn't going to stay here anyway.
Well, of course not. Unless you did. Forgive me.
Your deal is safe.
You said that before. Does that mean it isn't?
You play this game brilliantly. Don't think I haven't noticed. No one better. But I'm not playing it anymore. I'm only going to do things that really resonate with me.
Nothing like resonating.
As soon as you get back to London, we should meet up.
Back to London.
I'm sorry about Fortune's Fool, which is, of course, exactly what I am at this point.
Dramatic irony. Lovely stuff always was. In what way are you sorry?
The new head honcho, my old ex-friend, Harry Swirling, he's never ever going to go ahead with anything that I set up. You'll get your money, because having paid you for nothing will prove what a spendthrift I was. But forget about actually writing anything.
You're breaking my heart, Michael. I get the money and I don't have to do any work. How can I live with myself?
Adam flew with Mike Clode to New York, where they caught the Concorde to London. A week later, Adam and Barbara drove to their cottage in Saint-Julien-la-Forêt, where he resumed work on his novel. Derek Morris donated £250,000 towards the renovation of the ceiling of the senior combination room in his and Adam's old college. Transworld Pictures announced that Carlo Pavlidis had been appointed their chief executive officer.
In episode 5 of Fame and Fortune by Frederick Raphael, you heard Tom Conti as Adam Morris and Miranda Richardson as Barbara Morris. Alan Parks was played by Alistair McGowan, Sheridan Reese by Julian Glover, Gavin Pope by Alex Jennings, Mike Claude by Mark Wing Davey, and Jill Tabard by Harriet Walter. Flora Montgomery played Rachel Morris, Sheila Reed played Trish Reese, Vincent Marzello played Ron Shapiro, and Adrian Lucas played Derek Morris. Susie Beaumont was played by Lorelei King, Samuel Marcus Cohen by Christopher Benjamin, Bill Bourne by Stephen Critchlow, and Fiona McLean by Georgina Rich. Fame and Fortune was written and narrated by Frederick Raphael. The producer was Joe Wheeler, and the director was Pete Atkin. Fame and Fortune is an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4.